Blog Talk Radio.
Live from the Four Oaks in Fall Branch, Tennessee, KFKSport.com presents Do You Want to Be a Wrestler Kid Radio with your host, Gulf Coast Wrestling Reunion and Cauliflower Alley Club honoree, Bojang.
Hello again, welcome to Do You Want to Be a Wrestler Kid? Your host Bo James here. As we have another program here, we're going to talk the first part of the program about the Gulf Coast Wrestlers Reunion in Mobile, Alabama, which is coming up March the 5th and 6th, 2016, the 25th anniversary of the Gulf Coast Wrestlers Reunion. I cannot tell you how upset I am at myself for not going to the Gulf Coast Wrestlers Reunion earlier. I started going with my wife, Misty, about 7 or 8 years ago, I think it was. I'm not exactly sure when our first year was going, but I had been invited from the second or third year that the reunion had started, and I was always too busy or booked or had this or that going on. And Jim White used to ask me to go down. Debbie Combs and her mama, Cora Combs, used to ask me to go down. And, you know, I have come to find out just how special these reunions are since we've lost so many people over the last few years. And the last program here on Do You Want to Be a Wrestler Kid, we paid tribute to Cowboy Bob Kelly, who was the president of the reunion for many years, who was also a great wrestler in his own right and tremendous man. And you heard many people play tribute to him, and you heard words from himself as he talked about the Hall of Fame and how important it was to get the Lee Fields Wrestling and Racing Hall of Fame for the Gulf Coast started. And what I want to do, kick off the program here, I want to play a little audio, some rare audio, because unless you're in the wrestling profession, you're not allowed into the reunion. You can't come in. You have to be a wrestler, a manager, promoter. You have to be involved in the profession just to get in the doors. And a few years ago, one of my favorite people, one of the guys that I've just always enjoyed being around and looked up to him, and he's become a hero, become a friend, and I'm talking about the original one-man gang, the Hands of Stone, Ronnie Garvin, as he was honored there in 2014. And what I want to do is go back to Scott Teal's induction, and he'll listen to Ronnie Garvin talk about his career as his Hall of Fame induction into the Gulf Coast Wrestling Hall of Fame.
You wouldn't know it to look at him because he looks so young. But Ronnie Garvin began his wrestling career way back in 1962. If there was ever such a thing as a self-made man, it would be Ronnie Garvin. He grew up on a farm and later in low-income housing. For the first 5 or 6 years of his life, he never saw an electric light. And he quit school in the ninth grade and left home. Growing up in Quebec, he was wrestling at the Montreal YMCA when he was 12 years old. At age 15, one of the local gyms was training people to wrestle professionally, and he competed in what you might call semi-pro matches. When he came to the U.S., he didn't know more than 10 words of English. He once told me about some guys teaching him out of order from a venue at a restaurant. They told him to say, "I want," and then follow that with the names of the various dishes on the menu. He quickly realized that what he had asked for was the food when a shocked look came over the face of the waitress. The most amazing thing about Ronnie's story that he claims that if it hadn't been for wrestling, he would probably be in jail. At age 17, he wrestled for Tommy Santos in Boston, at first as Golden Boy Bashar, and later Jack Pepper called him G.G. Rogers and take off in Buddy Rogers. When he left Boston, he went to wrestle in Oklahoma for Leroy McGurk, forming a tag team with Terry Garvin, and from there he never looked back. During that time, he wrestled Jack Briscoe in Oklahoma City, and Jack Briscoe's very first professional wrestling. From there, he went to Alabama, Tennessee, Charlotte, North Bay, Ontario, and every major territory in the southern part of the U.S. He held so many titles, I can't even list them all, but to name a few, the World Tag, Southern Tag, Florida Tag, Georgia Tag, Southeastern, National TV, National Tag, Mid-Atlantic, AWA, TV, and WWC. However, on September 25th, 1987, Ronnie won what was considered to be the title to hold when he beat Ric Flair at the Joe Louis Arena in Detroit to win the NWA World Heavyweight Title. But Ronnie's wrestling history pales in comparison to find the boys on a dark road at night with his headlights out and easing the bumper against their back bumper and pushing them faster and faster until, before they knew it happening, they were going 90 miles an hour. Doing the same thing, only passing cars at 90 miles an hour in pitch blackness. And of course, my favorite, dive-bombing fishing boats in the middle of the night, which he did one night until he accidentally tried that on the Coast Guard coat. In the Knoxville territory, Ronnie is a true legend, having worked the main events there for more than a decade. And yet, if you talk with him about it, he will tell you exactly what Bob said a while ago. If it wasn't for his opponents, or the guys who put him over and made him look good, he never would have enjoyed the success he had. Ronnie quit wrestling in 1990 after a 37-year career when he was 45 years old and spent 8 months hunting and fishing. He got bored and began looking for a way to make a living. So he began to fly, shuttling airplanes back and forth as if for an airplane broker. He holds commercial and instrument ratings for single and multi-engine aircraft. He currently splits his time between Florida and a new home, which he built with his own two hands in West Virginia. His first match here was October 14, 1964, when he wrestled Eduardo Castillo. And in 1965, he headlined a series of matches in State Field, right here in North Carolina. I'd like to introduce this time my friend, the guy I love a whole lot, Ronnie Bowden.
From one of the greatest of all time, Ronnie Garvin talking about his career at the Gulf Coast Wrestlers Union a couple years ago. And if you're listening to this program and you want more information about this reunion coming up here next week and you are in the wrestling profession, send me an email at kingofkingsport.com. I'll be glad to make sure that you get all the information so you can get yourself there to the wrestling reunion. And if you're listening and you've not been in a few years, make sure you try to make it to Mobile on March the 5th and 6th. This is the 25th anniversary of the Gulf Coast Wrestlers Reunion. Now, let's take a short break, and I'm going to be back here in about 30 seconds with something else very special.
Are you looking for classic Southern Wrestling DVDs from the days of promoter Nick Gulas, Southeastern Wrestling, or Continental Wrestling? How about DVDs from Southern States Wrestling featuring the Legends of the Ring and some of today's top stars? Maybe you are looking for the three-disc set of Bill Dundee's Career and Memories, or the two published books by Bo James about his life in wrestling. Keep up with the careers and life away from the ring of the award-winning Dynamic Wrestling James Duo. All of this and a lot more at kingofkingsport.com. That's kingofkingsport.com.
There's no time like now. Just click over there and check out kingofkingsport.com. Check out the DVDs. Check out my books and everything else I got up on my website. And also go over and check out Misty James's website at countrystrongmistyjames.blogspot.com. Now, told you a few minutes before we went to the break there, come back with something special, and you've heard about it on the program. Here's Dakota when he talks about the King of Kingsport in our ad, kingofkingsport.com. He talks about the three DVD set of Bill Dundee that Bill and I put together and did. Bill picked out the hand-picked the matches that he wanted on this DVD, and we just started in 1964 with the beginning of his career, and we just pretty much go month by month, year by year, through his 50 years in professional wrestling up to that point. And great feedback from people that's bought this DVD all over the world. You can buy it at kingofkingsport.com, or you also can buy it from Bill Dundee himself, get a hold of him on Facebook, or go out to the wrestling matches where you can see him live, and he will be happy to sign a copy for you. So what I want to do now is I want to take a few minutes and play some audio as Bill talks about the early years of his career, getting started in Australia and coming to Tennessee. And I can tell you this, you will not find a more in-depth interview of any professional wrestler with somebody that knows as much about him as myself and Bill Dundee here on this three-disc set. Over 6 hours of footage, hand-picked matches from Dundee himself, a lot of rare stuff, but you're going to hear him talk about early in his career here, and then I'm going to come back and finish out the program.
I guess I never wanted to be anything else but a pro wrestler once I had seen it on the television, because they had it in Britain. It came on at 2 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon, and it went off at 6 o'clock Saturday night. And the Billy Robertsons and the Adrian Streets and the Tony Charleses and the Les Thorntons, they were all the stars of that TV. And there was a guy named Jackie Powell and a guy named Mick McManus. They were the big shots of that. And they all were wrestlers. I mean, they could all shoot, they could all wrestle. And I went to my uncle's judo school. I started off doing judo when I was about 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15. Then I kind of left school and got away from that, but we'll get into that later. So I started off doing judo. And then I was there training one Saturday afternoon. Their guys walked in. And I said, damn, I know them. And my uncle said, yeah, you've probably seen them on TV. They're professional wrestlers. And I watched them do it. And I thought, I can do that. But you have to get somebody to show you. It's not quite as easy as you know. Everybody thinks they can do it,
yes,
but it's a little harder than most people think.
Exactly. When you got started, just tell the people a little bit about how long it took you to get. First, you had to let you train.
Right. That was the main thing. I mean, I was 155 pounds, and I thought, well, I looked pretty good. I thought I did. I looked pretty muscular. Didn't weigh nothing, though. And most wrestlers, even in England, they had like lightweights, middleweights, welterweights, and heavyweights. But it's like boxing. Back in them days, everybody loved the heavyweights. You had to be a heavyweight, they said. And I thought, well, hell, I can't get no taller, but I can at least put some weight on. So I went from 150 pounds to the time we actually got to America up to 225 pounds. So I gradually put 5 pounds on, 10 pounds on. So when I get to 190, I met a gentleman by the name of Clive Corm. I moved in next door to him, and I was going to take an unarmed combat class. That's really what I went for. And he had a poster on the wall, just like the ones we use today with his picture. I said, is that you? You professional wrestler? He said, yeah, I do a little bit of that. You teach me? He said, same old question. Will you teach me? No, you're too small. I said, no, I'm not too small, man. I'll put weight on. Anyway, I did. He taught me, and he introduced me to another gentleman named Ken Fuhrer, and he had a son that was about my size. And he didn't have an opponent, so here I am.
There you go.
That was Whip Bonin. First 2 years I did with him. And then I moved to Sydney, Australia. Jim Barnett came from Atlanta, Georgia, and he brought Championship Wrestling, called it Australian Championship Wrestling, but it was actually the one from Atlanta, Georgia, Channel 17. So he was running that for 10 years over in Australia. And then I moved to Sydney, Australia, and met a gentleman named George Barnes, and him and I went over to the guy that run it in Sydney's name was Hal Morgan, and his mainstay was a gentleman by the name Jim Deacon, and they were both mean guys. They kind of like you've heard the stories of Stu Hart in Canada.
Right.
They were the Australian version. They wanted to let you know they could beat you anytime they felt like it, and they would do, you know, things that hurt, and you know. Anyway, we persevered. Now, a gentleman by the name of Bobby Shane.
But they give you an education.
Yeah, you got an education. It wasn't
like now where people just go to these little wrestling clubs and pay a few bucks and, hey, I'm a wrestler.
Yeah, somebody charged them $50 and they say, I'm a wrestler. No, you know, so we paid with dues. We did 12 years in Australia, and a guy by the name of Bobby Shane came over, and he got us booked for Goodis Welsh. Jerry Jarrett was the booker. They sent us to Tennessee. It took a year to get the papers. Started about the minute that beginning of 74, the end of 74, January 75, the visas came, we got on a plane, we showed up in Nashville, Tennessee, walked up 8th Avenue South to meet Nick Goulis and Roy Welsh, or Jerry Jarrett, or whoever, and it was like going to jail. And they had a big fence around this big new building, and you couldn't get in. After I got to know Nick, and after I got to work for him, I know why that fence was there, I know why the doors were locked, and all the things that you heard about him, kind of true. So we saw Mike Duncan, first guy we saw, he came out, he was going to his
car. He was the announcer.
He was one of the announcers. Yeah. And we yelled at him, said, hey man, tell Nick Goodis the Australians are here. He said, oh, you guys are Australians? We were standing like two jabronis on the middle of the street. Yeah, we're from Australia. Yeah. But anyway.
Now, had anybody, from when you was working with Barnett in Australia to come to Tennessee, had anybody told you anything about Nick Goodis, Jerry Jarrett, and the Welches, or were you kind of coming in blind? Or?
No, you kind of heard the stories because Mario Milano was a big star in Australia. Mark Loon and Barnett had used it. He was living there, and he'd worked for Nick. And Larry O'Day and Ron Miller had come over here and worked for Nick, and they came back. And they actually told us, said, the two guys over there, it's Toji Yamamoto and Jerry Jarrett, they were the tag team. And Jarrett's the booker, and Toji's his buddy. He said, so if you get in with them, tell them, you know. So anyway, Bobby Shane came over and he told us the same thing. When you go there, go to Jerry Jarrett and tell him you come here to work for him, you're one of his guys and you trust him, that thing.
So
that's what we
pretty did. Much everybody tried to wing you around Nick Goulis.
Yes. So Nick had a bad reputation, and I found it firsthand to be true when him and I got into a beef. I had quit after George left. We got over like a house on fire, his heels, and he stayed about 3 months. Then he went away, and I was teamed up with various guys, you know, so Chris Colt was one of my first partners.
Take a minute to talk about, when you first come here, one thing I found interesting in the book was Lance Russell could almost remember your first interview word for word. And he remembered you and George Barnes slapping each other and chopping each other and forearming each other. So that's 1975, January of 75, when you came here. If he remembers that, it's crystal clear now to write about it in your book in the foreword. Then he knew that was something special.
Yeah.
That was the first time that Tennessee and America had seen Bill Dundee. And Lance Russell, who has did millions of interviews with thousands of wrestlers, remembers that. So that shows you how special it was, your first appearance in Memphis.
Yeah, and people still ask me, you still talk to George? So, I mean, this is 35 years since?
36
years. So 36 years, people will come up to me in the street and say, hey, you still talk to George Barnes? You? So they remember how we got over. I mean, we beat the hell out of one another on Memphis TV just to show it how tough we was. And, you know, and the people remembered that because nobody else had done it. That was the first time they saw two guys whooping one another.
And when you first got here, you wrestled preliminary wrestlers and you guys beat them. And then you went to the main events with Tojo and Eddie Marlin. And how were they to wrestle? Was it a completely different style from what you had been used to in Australia? Or was it kind of a mixture?
The style was basically the same. They were just two different type characters. We were used to wrestling with Red Bastien, the hell of a worker, Pat Patterson, Ray Stevens. Now, we were doing jobs for them guys. When I say wrestle, we were getting them over. But if they liked you and you could work, they'd give you a match. So it wasn't like they were just squashing us.
Right.
They were actually working with us and teaching you. And Dojo and Eddie wasn't Pat Patterson and Ray Stevens. I mean, they were a little different than that thing. Eddie was long, dangly arms, and he was a good old boy, and Dojo was a little fat Japanese dude, and he just chopped the hell out of you. Yeah. And that was what it was. You got the heat on Eddie, he tagged Dojo, boom, 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 and that's what it was. Well, we worked with them for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and then we hurt Eddie's back. And they carted him out on the chair like just the gurney, and I jumped over the top rope, and the chair hit the floor, and then they take him to the hospital. He was off for a month. They brought in Dick the Bruiser. They brought in Golden, and they brought a couple other guys to wrestle.
So within a month, you're wrestling not only the two top wrestlers in Memphis, but now they're bringing guys in from different parts.
Yeah, to team up with Tojo.
Who are top stars that already been there, already been established.
Yeah.
So really, it was, you came here to succeed, but did you realize that was going to happen that fast? That you were going to be in 4 weeks, be in the main event?
No, and here's another thing. It's being in the right place at the right time. They had fired Jerry Lawler, or he had quit, or they came to an agreement that he's leaving for a little while. He was the champion, he said, and he didn't want to go to the little towns.
Mm-hmm.
And when he got to own part of the business, he didn't, but that's another story. He and Jerry said, well, if you're not going to the little ones, you're not going to the big ones, and they banished him to Florida. So him leaving and us getting there, and capturing the people's imagination, that filled that little hole for the, you know, that put the Band-Aid on
it. Because they started the door for
the
door.
Yeah, yeah, opened the door for us. Because maybe if he'd still been there and him and Jarrett was like this, and they were doing satellite business, they wouldn't have really quite needed us as much. But they kind of needed something to take Lawler's place, and we was it.
So the door's open, you go through Dick the Bruiser and Golden and Tojo and Eddie Marlin.
Yeah.
And then it comes along, I grew up in East Tennessee, and this name means a lot up here, the Fullers.
Yes, sir.
And as small as you guys were on that time of wrestling, you and George Barnes both about 5'8", 215 pounds, they all were 6'7", 6'8". And
that Ron Fuller was, looked to me like he was 7 feet tall. and he's a long, rangy guy. So long, rangy guys and big bones weigh a lot more than they look. So he was a genuine 260.
Yeah.
Big old boy. And he was the top heel here. Robert Fuller came in as a baby. Good looking, you know Robert when he was young. He's a good looking guy, and he was 6'1 or 2 or whatever he was, 230, 235, and he was the baby face. And we beat him up. And his brother and his dad was coming
in for
Buddy Fuller.
Yeah.
So he was part of the promotion. And he would be at the TV. And so one day we whooped him up about 2-3 weeks in a row, and on about, I think, the third week, Buddy comes out and says, hey, leave him alone, leave him alone. You know, so we hammer Buddy. Well, the big one's standing at the back watching, so he couldn't take it. So Big Ron hits the ring. Bam! And you can imagine, you've seen him, you know him. All over the place, me and George. Boom, 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 boom. So now he's come out and he said, look here. He said, I've told you, Robert Fuller, how you wrestle doesn't get you nowhere. Then Wojcicki would have killed you if it hadn't been for me. And he didn't really want to switch babyface, because he kind of told the people, hey, man, if you'll listen to me, we can take the guys out, but you have to change your style. And Robert said, oh, I'm not doing it. He said, well, I'm not changing mine, but I'll help you. So we had another Australian here, Johnny Gray.
Now, did he come with you, or was he here before?
No, he was already here.
He was already
here. Working on Nick's end. So when we wrestled Robert Fuller and Ron Fuller that Monday night, Johnny Gray snuck in, and the two of us beat the hell out of them, who got them down, got juice, blah, 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 and Buddy hits the ring. So now you have the three Fullers and the three Aussies, John Gray, George Barnes, and Bill Dundee. We had a 2-month program with them.
And people came. It was a full building.
Every building.
Let's take a look right
there. You heard just a few minutes about the career of superstar Bill Dundee from the man himself. The audio taken from the 3-disc DVD set that Bill and I put out a few years ago, and you can get them anytime at kingofkingsport.com or get them from Bill Dundee himself. He'd be happy to sign one. And I got to tell you this, it is a great accompanying piece along with Bill Dundee's book, so get both of them from the superstar. That way you can read about it and you can listen about it. And there's a lot of rare hand-picked matches and footage on those 3-disc sets, 6 hours of Bill Dundee talking about his career and us showing his biggest matches, the biggest angles, the biggest feuds over his career. And again, you can get that anytime at kingofkingsport.com or from superstar Bill Dundee himself. As we get ready to wrap up this week's program, Do You Want to Be a Wrestler Kid? I want to tell you where you can see the dynamic James Wrestling duo, myself and my beautiful wife, Misty James, in person, in action. This coming Wednesday, March the 2nd, I will be in Raceland, Louisiana, at the First Assembly of God on the corner of St. Anne's Street and Highway 1. The event is also presented by the First Baptist Church of Raceland, as I will be giving my testimony. If you're in the area, I hope you come on down to listen to the word that the Lord has given me to bring to Raceland, Louisiana. For more information, both churches have Facebooks. Look them up on Facebook, or you can go to fbcraceland.org. The following night, Thursday, March 3rd, Mobile, Alabama, Fred DeCamp Center, Suncoast Wrestling, Misty and I both will be wrestling there. Special bell time, 7 o'clock. For more information, I have on the kingofkingsport.com, I have the poster and the address for that event. Then the 4th and 5th of March, we will be at the Gulf Coast Wrestlers Reunion. Looking forward to seeing all of our friends there at the Gulf Coast Wrestlers Reunion. Friday night, March the 11th, back to Hazard, Kentucky, back to the hills of East Kentucky at the high school. Misty and I both will be there for a big night of wrestling presented by Mountain Sports and Entertainment. So if you're in Southeast Kentucky, I hope to see you there in Hazard on March the 11th. Saturday night, March 12th, Monroe, Georgia, Charlie Smith Tribute Wrestling Event. More information on kingofkingsport.com there also. It's a huge event. Ole Anderson's going to be there, Thunderbolt Patterson, Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff, an array of stars from all across the Southeast as we pay tribute to my friend Charlie Smith with a huge night of wrestling to raise money for the Cauliflower Alley Club. Go to kingofkingsport.com. Check out more information there. The next morning, Sunday, March 13th, I will be at Friendship Baptist Church. I'll be bringing the message there at 11 a.m. on Gaskill Street, Southeast there. Friendship Baptist Church, Pastor Bobby Simmons, my longtime friend. I just thank the world of him. And you heard him here on the program last week. And I'm going to see Bobby in Mobile. I'm going to see him in Atlanta. So I hope to tape an interview with Bobby to put on the program right here coming up in the weeks to come. Saturday night, March 19th, Middle School. Farmville, Virginia. Misty and I returned to Farmville for the first time in about a year. Going to be a big night of wrestling there presented by the Bruiser Wrestling Federation. So if you're up there in South Central Virginia, hope to see you in Farmville on the 19th of March. Saturday night, March 26th, we will be in Chattanooga, Tennessee. More on the next program here. Keep up to date on kingofkingsport.com. April the 2nd, Saturday night, April the 2nd, we will be in Cartersville, Georgia. More information coming on that. Friday night, April the 8th, Decatur, Tennessee, Kazana Productions presents a big night of wrestling. Jim Cornette's going to be there. The Rock and Roll Express is going to be there. Bo and Misty James, Joey Kazana, and a whole lot more. That's Decatur, Tennessee, there at the Meigs County High School Friday night, April the 8th. Several more events to be talked about here on upcoming editions here of Do You Want to Be a Wrestler Kid? You can always keep up with me at facebook.com/ProWrestlerBoJames. You also go to Pro Wrestler Misty James on Facebook. Keep up with me on KingofKingsport.com. My Twitter also at KingofKingsport. Go to my YouTube channel, YouTube.com/KingofKingsport. I have here in the last few hours have uploaded all kinds of matches from independent promotions in the late 80s in East Tennessee. And by the time you hear this, might even have some stuff from Dale Mann's promotion in Kentucky from the early 80s, and also George Goulas' UWA. Always check out the YouTube channel because I like putting out there a lot of Southern wrestling history so people can take a look at it and keep up with what has come before, what is out there now. Also, a reminder, any promoter listening, Misty and I are always taking bookings, have boots, wheel travel. You can get a hold of me for booking information at kingofkingsport@gmail.com. And as I've told you here on the program, I'm heading to Mobile. I'm going to see a lot of people, a lot of friends from over the years, heroes turned friends. I'm taking my recorder and hope to record several interviews while I'm in Mobile for upcoming editions of Do You Want to Be a Wrestler Kid? I hope you enjoyed the audio of Ronnie Garvin and his Gulf Coast Wrestling Hall of Fame induction earlier. I hope you enjoyed the audio of Bill Dundee talking about his early days in wrestling. Remember, you can get those three DVDs at kingofkingsport.com. And when I come back here, probably not going to have a program next week. I hope to have one every week, but just timing and so much going on right now in my life and working on so many different projects, I'm not able to get one up every week, but I'm constantly working on Do You Want to Be a Wrestler Kid, and I hope to get as many up as I can. Sometimes I'll upload a couple in a day. Sometimes it's you know, every other week or whatever. But just keep checking back here at all times. Tell your friends about Do You Want to Be a Wrestler Kid. Hope you enjoyed it. Send me some feedback. Always like hearing from the people that listen to my program out there. And I want to just thank each and every one of you for listening this week. And hope you've went back and listened to the programs in the archives. And I hope you're going to stick with us for some programs that we have coming up. So until next time, Do You Want to Be a Wrestler Kid? Thank you very much. God bless each and every one
Thanks
of you.
Thanks for listening, everyone. And make sure you tune in next week of a brand new episode of Do You Want to Be a Wrestler Kid Radio. Also, make sure you check out KMKeysport.com for books, DVDs, pictures, and more.